Now that the surrounding counties are able to apply for the variance and not knowing what they're going to apply for, I think it would be within our ability to go forward with the recommendation that Dr. Locke can put forward, but to do so in a way that...
This is KPTZ 91.9 in Port Townsend, Washington.
To phase two, if the surrounding counties, if and when the surrounding counties do that. So it's automatic. In other words, it wouldn't necessarily require another vote of the Board of Health. So we would approve it, but delay it. And so I guess that in a nutshell is my thinking in terms of the big picture approach and where I'm inclined in terms of the vote we're going to take on Thursday. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Kate?
Thanks, Sheila. Thanks, everyone. Especially I think that the BOCC has had so much opportunity to talk about this issue in a very public forum. So I'm inclined to mostly give my time to others and realizing that we're at the end of our meeting time. I'll just say I'm really worried about the long-term economic impacts of staying shut down, and especially for future generations to come. I believe that we can adaptively manage this virus in a smart, well-behaved community and hope that we can achieve that. And I think so much of what we're talking about actually comes down to behavior change and how we motivate and inspire people to behave in a certain way. But I think we just really have to keep in mind who is most vulnerable when we talk about opening certain sectors of the economy. And we know that it is largely service workers. And that is who has been impacted by the virus most throughout this country. And so I want to be really, really mindful of that moving forward. Just a couple of things I think we still need to figure out. I would agree that we want to give ourselves the ability to move through from our kind of partial phase two, as outlined by Dr. Locke, into a full phase two in sync with neighboring counties or the state. So we'll give some thought to the mechanics of that. And curious where the port is at in terms of moorage, if we should be including that in our camping prohibition currently, or if they plan to maintain that. I want to be in sync. So I really appreciate the goodwill effort to have our jurisdictions be aligned and be entering into this together, because we're going to need to be a unified front if we want to establish this kind of expectation of behavior that's going to keep us all well.
Thank you. David?
Kate said we have a lot of chances to speak to the public and to talk about this. I have spoken for a regional approach. I think if we do something that's partial opening and our neighboring counties, if they do a full or a partial, we can look at that. We can certainly adapt. And I think that is part of the learning experience with this. We're learning more about this virus all the time. It's not just affecting seniors, it's affecting children. Children going back to school are finding increased incidences. It's teenagers, it's middle-aged people, it's everybody. And I think that's something that we really need to be conscious of, that people want to take self-responsibility, that's fine, but often people's actions, they're taking responsibility for their neighbor's health and their whole community. So I'm optimistic that we can just keep working this through, but aware that it's a unique time in history, like some of the big changes that have happened in Port Townsend and Jefferson County over the years, back from our inception. We've had a series of recessions or depressions or bad financial situations, and some of them gone on for years. And we don't want that. We want to pull together and have a new normal, and we want to support each other and support our businesses.
Kind of losing you, David.
Yeah, we can't hear you, David.
In healthcare.
You're cutting out.
My knees finally done that I put off.
Yeah, you're cutting out. I'm sorry.
I'll be seeing him.
Okay. Pam?
Yes. I just have a few things. I've talked a lot, and people have heard me, and I've been quoted, and I'm going to be talking more on Thursday, I'm sure, because it looks like we have some new things to consider. And I guess what I wanted to say is that I really feel that the process that we've gone through in order to get to this point on Thursday to give a vote has been exactly the right process. I love the fact that it was transparent, that we allowed lots of time for people to give us their input, and they certainly gave us their input, and it was welcome and interesting and helpful. I feel that we have those of us who have been involved in the process of making these decisions have been thoughtful and deliberative, and I sort of feel that, and I think someone very smart said at one point that speed is not relevant if we're not going in the right direction, and I feel like we are going in the right direction, and I believe also in our flexibility. I'm sure on Thursday we will be talking about maybe some changes to the recommendations that Dr. Locke has made, and I'm completely open to that. I'm really proud of our community for taking this on and doing it in a way that I believe will end up in a good a good plan for us. And then all we have to do from there is try to figure out how we're going to be doing the plan. And so there'll be lots of work for us to do later, but I'm very appreciative, and I believe in the process, and I believe in our community, and I really am thankful for being able to be part of it.
Thank you so much. Greg?
Oh, I'll be really quick. I've been talking a lot, but, you know, I think the process has been really good, and I've, you know, through listening to our partners and citizens and business owners, I have to say my perspective has changed. I mean, as Dennis said, you know, the variables have changed too with the opening up of the other areas. I mean, I've already said I think we should open up camping, but, you know, I have faith in our business community, and I guess I hope that we can, you know, discuss at least on a Thursday meeting a full phase two, or if Dennis's idea is good as well of, you know, having a pre-approved phase two upon another adjacent county getting to the same level. But, you know, if our businesses want to open, I think I've been a little siloed in looking at the business community through my own business, and it's just not the right time for me to open. But a lot of different businesses are coming to a very different calculation, and I think that we can support them in this and still do it right while considering some other options.
Thank you so much. So I've been looking for inspiration during this time, and I just want to share a personal story. My father fought in three wars, World War II, Korea, Vietnam. He was wounded 5 times. He has 5 Purple Hearts. Such a sacrifice. We are being called today to make a very different sort of sacrifice. Quieter, no bombs going off. Still, this is so frightening. I feel for everyone. But honestly, we must do this, and I believe we can. I worry the most for those without adequate food and shelter. We need to take care of them. Meanwhile, the rest of us need to buckle down, be brave, and make decisions based on science and the reality of our situation, which is that this virus will bring us to our knees if we do not commit to our communal well-being rather than our narrow self-interest. So we're out of time. I know Dr. Locke got a couple of questions. I think I'm going to let him answer those on Thursday. Hopefully he noted those down. And I'm looking forward to Thursday, and I just want to say I'm just proud of everyone.
All right.
So do you want me to adjourn the meeting? How would you like to do this, Greg?
Well, we've got one more quick section, so
that's right.
Dr. Locke is going to answer the questions on Thursday.
Okay.
That's fine. So we'll, I guess, see if we can get the executives from the four judicial jurisdictions to join us. We are going to talk a little bit. We are joined by Philip Morley, John Morrow, and looking for Aaron and Kevin. And really, I'll talk for just a second and then hand it off to Philip, and we can go around the executives. But, you know, I think that a lot of people have touched on this as we've spoken today. You know, we have different missions at our different organizations, and we have the same residents, and we ultimately, you know, have the same strategies in approaching this coronavirus. So, you know, even before the phase variant came around, these executives have already been meeting to see how we can ally ourselves in these efforts together. So with that, I guess I'll pass off to Philip and then, you know, hand on down the line.
Great. Thank you, Greg. And tonight's meeting is an example of it's not just the executives, it's the elected officials of the four governments. The county, the city, the port, and the PUD have been collaborating on an individual basis. And tonight is just one example. Kevin talked about the airport and the collaboration that's happened there just at the staff level. But really, as one of the participants said tonight, we need to be looking past this decision about phase two to phase three, but even beyond that, and ultimately, eventually beyond this entire pandemic. And so how do we survive? How do we recover? How do we emerge from this more resilient and healthy as a society and as an economy? And can we come out more able to address some of the long-term and persistent challenges that have faced this community? And are we positioned to really see new opportunities that may come forward, especially if there's a stimulus package that comes out of D.C. on this? And so this is an opportunity, I think, for the four elected bodies as well as your staff to continue the collaboration shown tonight, to continue to meet together, and really to then partner with the broader community, because together we can do more than we can individually. And so harnessing the power of different groups and task forces that are already present in our community to tackle some of these challenges and opportunities together is, I think, as Mr. Morrow happily says, a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. This is an opportunity to hit the reset on how we are working together, not only for the challenges that face us now, but into the future. And with that, John, do you want to take it from there?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Philip. I think it was former Mayor Rahm Emanuel who said that, so no credit to me. He says it with a few more cuss words than I would, I might add. But I think Philip hit the nail on the head here. I mean, I think the four of us have had a number of conversations, and you know, I don't want to just do a collective kumbaya here. I think the devil's in the details. But through the conversations that initially began as, oh my goodness, you know, the shock sitting in about trading information on HR issues and financial forecasting kind of the near term, now we're starting to turn thinking to what are the ingredients for long-term success. And clearly the partnership amongst our agencies is a critical success factor. We kind of can't get there without that. And we've all committed to each other that we're going to have an honest, direct, and productive path forward as agencies. And so that, to me, is exciting. I think the other thing to just quickly highlight from what Phil shared, too, is that, you know, setting the table for success includes thinking outside the box about how we pose the critical decisions ahead, not just on COVID-19, but some of the big crises that are already at our doorstep, like affordable housing, like climate change, like social isolation. And we have this community that has an unusual amount of smarts, generosity, motivation to really bring all hands on deck and think about what our long-term resilience is. So we want to set the table for that and work in partnership far beyond our agency and really respect and reflect that our community is quite special. Frankly, if we can't do it, I don't think anybody else can. And I think the last thing is, you know, from my perspective, is that this needs to happen soon. You know, we're battling this current crisis in all sorts of different fronts, but without I think I said earlier, you know, keeping resilience and recovery as our pole star, as every decision lines up with that direction that we're going and staying focused on that direction, we can be guaranteed that each decision will help get us there. So I'd like to say that this get used to this kind of collaboration as governing bodies. We look forward to serving you as your executives and bringing this group together perhaps more frequently and perhaps as early as June to have another meeting to talk about that next step of things and how we tap community leaders and engage in decision making like we haven't done before. I'll pass the mic.
Aaron, you want to go next?
Sure, thank you. As the newest person in this erstwhile collection of fellows, the so-called four amigos, we've been meeting very regularly. Tomorrow we're going to commandeer a few picnic tables to have a legitimate socially distanced in-person meeting to try to continue to work on this project. But I guess I just wanted to reflect that I've met a lot of people, even under this pandemic situation, just out walking or driving by. I had a fellow drive up to the port headquarters, spot me, ask who I was, and then just, how are you feeling? Are you happy? Yeah. Well, if you're happy, then I'm happy. We love this port. We want you to succeed. And the conversations seem to be consistent that people want the four governments and even more broadly, more governments working together. I've heard nobody say anything other than, let's look forward, let's collaborate, let's work on some of these bigger problems, let's do it, you know, in a positive, community-oriented, public process manner, let's do it together. So, I'm really excited about that. I think the board has a lot of capability to share, and so far, working with the city, the county, the PUD, you know, we've done a few things, and we've done them quickly, and I think they've been done well. I really, really believe we're going to be able to step those up to some a little bit bigger things. And then ultimately, frankly, I think our goal is to help build a process to solve some of the intractable problems of the community that really works for the community. So we're looking forward to this. It's going to be a lot of work, but I think it will be awfully rewarding, too, and will pay dividends in the future. So thanks for welcoming me into the so-called four amigos.
Great. Kevin?
So, you know, as a PUD, we kind of have a different governing body. We're not like the port who's economic development. We're not like the city, not like the county. But we do think we want to be a partner. We want to help out. There are a lot of things that we can bring to the table, and our board wants to participate in the community. We want to be able to do things, and I think this is a good opportunity to show that governments can work together to the betterment of our customers, because people that live in the city, county, we all need to work together. The PUD, cities, a path forward, and we hope to be able to leverage this to working together on several projects that would help the community. That's it.
Great, guys. Thank you. Thank you very much. In the interest of time, you know, we're going to move on, running a little late, but I'd love to invite all the chairs back, and we will have, I will pass it to each of you in turn, and if you have a final, you know, 10 seconds or so comment, and then you can adjourn your meeting, and we'll start with Pete Hanke, the port.
So, kind of a comment to Sheila. Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Steve.
I was thinking of, you know, your comment about coming to town in 1973 on the fish, on with your boyfriend on a fish boat, right? Or sailboat?
It was actually 71, but...
71, all right, there you go.
And he was a boat builder.
And he was a boat builder, there you go. And, you know, I moved here permanently in 83. We actually started coming to town in the late 60s with the LCO, but it really struck a chord. And I was thinking about tonight, and particularly for Phil Morley, I'm really amazed at this evening and what this represents in terms of the four bodies coming together like this. Also amazed at the process, as Pam Anderson commented, in terms of the Board of Health moving through this. I am not one that's very patient at times. I tend to want to push the rock up the hill pretty fast. And so it has been frustrating. But at the same time, particularly tonight, listening to everybody's comments, I'm with everybody. I think it's been a great process, and I'm really glad that we have slowed it down and taken the time. I do agree with you, Sheila, that, you know, it is a sacrifice, and we need to do that. And I think public health is paramount. You know, it feels like there's a light at the end of the tunnel, like we can open this up a little bit, and that's really cool. But more than anything, I just want to make a shout-out to everyone that made this possible tonight. And I think a lot of people's comments, both in the public and for all of us as electeds and staff, got heard in one setting. And remote. That's pretty remarkable. And with that, I'll adjourn our port meeting.
Great. Thank you, Pete. Pass it over to Dan. Beauty.
Thanks. Again, congrats to everybody involved tonight. It went off really pretty well, all things being equal. So, you know, we're all interconnected. We're all interdependent. You know, if one component of this county, you know, struggles, everybody, it has a ripple effect. So I do believe that we all need to keep these lines of communication open and build those, you know, relationships. That's a plus. We're all going to have disagreements. You know, it's going to be hard to find consensus along the way, but I think if we keep the community in mind, I think we'll be okay. So with that, I will adjourn the PUD portion of the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Michelle?
Congratulations, Greg. You heard in some casts this evening. Well done. And I want to thank everybody. And once again, this community that I've lived in for nearly 30 years demands a lot of public process. And that public process isn't necessarily groupthink. And it's messy and it's time consuming, but I congratulate everybody, and I think that we want to move on. We want to move on safely. I know we're still away, and Chair Westerman and Chair Brotherton, you've got some heavy weight to carry in this next week. But I would call on all of our community members to make sure to care for each other and be kind. And well, I'll just say that we're going to need you. We're going to need the community to work together for the revitalization and recovery efforts that we're going to do. There's going to be a lot of need for creativity and good minds and volunteerism to get our community whole again and to make our community safe. So thank you all.
Go for you to adjourn. Michelle?
Oh, I'm so sorry. We're adjourned, City Council.
Great. And Chair Westerman, Sheila.
You're muted.
You're still muted.
Thank you so much. I think I've talked enough, so I'm going to adjourn the Board of Health for now.
All right. I think I've had my fill of talking as well. So thanks for all for being here and being part of this process, and we'll adjourn this meeting of the Board of County Commissioners. See you guys all on Thursday.
Bye-bye.
This is KPTZ 91.9 in Port Townsend, Washington. We've just heard the special joint meeting of the Jefferson Board of County Commissioners, Port Commissioners, Port Townsend City Council, and County Board of Health. The recording of this meeting reports will be available by tomorrow afternoon for streaming on online at kptz.org. Thank you for listening.